Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Syndicated News again. This evening, we're going to be talking to two lovely ladies that have done something incredible. Ladies, are you with us?
I'm here. This is Lynn.
Oh,
I'm here.
Welcome.
This is Angela.
Welcome, Angela. This is wonderful. We're going to start with Lynn. She's the owner of the Inn on, is that Charlotte?
Or yes,
Charlotte?
It is.
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. The Inn on Charlotte. That's Lynn Fairfield. It's located in lovely St. Augustine, Florida. So, I understand you put together a national coffee cake challenge. Is that right?
Yes, it is. We were looking for something to be very more home-like in our food line and something of a signature. And coffee cake is such a family feeling orientated, welcoming item in the food chain, so to speak, that I think it evokes, you know, relaxation and comfort and feeling like you're someplace special. And so we wanted to do something that created something that guests would remember and talk about. We have a couple of other items, spit that out, that guests really enjoy, and they ask for the recipes. And so we try to find things that have that signature cachet to them that people say, oh, you should try that, or write about in our journals that we leave in the rooms for the guests to leave us comments on. And so coffee cake was a natural to flow with that, since we're bed and breakfast. And, you know, coffee cake I think of as a breakfasty or afternoon treat item.
With a cup of coffee or a cup of tea.
Yeah. So, that's why we created that, and we wanted to open it up to kind of create some interest about the area as well, because St. Augustine is such a terrific place, and the inn, I personally, of course, think it's wonderful, and want to share that with others.
Well, don't worry. I have lots of questions about St. Augustine and especially your inn.
Mm-hmm.
And first we're going to talk about coffee cake, then we're going to talk to Angela, then we're going to talk to both of you, and then we're going to talk about the inn.
Okay, that's great.
So do you bake every day, and what were your current favorites?
Yes, I do bake every day. It's not always a sweet, but every day we do bake fresh cheese pennies. That's a signature item for us at the inn. And we bake fresh homemade breakfast every morning. Many mornings I'll make like a fresh banana bread or a homemade biscuit or something of that nature that kind of is a side item on the plate. And so, and that, you know, what that does is it creates that aura also in the home of, you know, everything smells good. It smells like home. You come downstairs for breakfast and it smells great, you know. And so you think, can't wait to sit down and have some of that.
So will this winning recipe become your signature coffee cake?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh! Angela, you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have to say,
it's very overwhelming.
From the minute, we got over 150 recipes came in, and Angela's recipe came in towards the end of the contest. And all through the contest, you know, I was talking to Lee Court about this, and I'd say, oh, you know, it just haven't quite hit the right thing. It hasn't just caught me just right. And I opened up the envelope from this one, and it said key lime coconut coffee cake. I was like, is that Florida or what? I was like so excited. I mean, I was like, I have to try this recipe right now, you know. And so to me, it's like when people come to Florida, I think people think key lime, they think coconut, they think tropical. And this coffee cake is, not only does it have a fabulous name, it just tastes dynamite. It is so, it's very memorable. It's got a sweetness but tartness at the same time. And it's pretty. So, I mean, hey, how can you go wrong with that?
You have 8 accommodations in
mm-hmm.
rooms and suites.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you name them after famous people?
That's another thing for people to remember when they're in St. Augustine. You know, St. Augustine is a wonderful, wonderful city, and it's very, very European feeling. Has a lot of history. Has a lot of. You feel like you've gone very far away, and you really are right here in the United States. And there's many, many people that were in the history of this city that made it feel that way.
Okay, and we're going to go into that history in a while.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta talk to you and Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this grand prize winner.
Mm-hmm.
What's
mm-hmm.
the grand prize? What is it?
The grand prize?
Well, I'm sorry, Ruthie. Are you asking me or asking Lynn?
I'm asking Lynn.
Oh, okay. Well, the grand prize is we wanted to make it very memorable for something that is St. Augustine. So it's a two-night stay at our inn, the Inn on Charlotte. And, you know, we always have a gourmet breakfast every morning, so it includes that, obviously. And we're going to have a gourmet lunch at the Bistro de Lyon, which is a new French restaurant in town, so that's a European feel. We have a European chocolatier just around the corner from the inn, Claude's Chocolates. It'll include them. And we also have a wonderful trolley system through the city that takes you to all the attractions, and you can use it to get off and on and transport you around the city and see basically everything that's going on. The lighthouse, tickets to that, that's a famous landmark here in the city. And that's one of our rooms is named after that. Flagler College, of course, because Henry Flagler was one of the key people to this city, and one of his famous hotels, the Ponce de Leon, is now Flagler College. So it's obviously want to tour that, and their the Fountain of Youth, which was Diamond Lil. She started that attraction. One of our rooms is named for her. The Leitner Museum
mm-hmm.
has a huge Tiffany collection, and one of our rooms is the Tiffany Studio because Tiffany was a very close personal friend of Flagler. Ripley's Believe It or Not tickets. The facility that Ripley's is in was Marjorie Kenan Rawlings. And her husband ran that as the castle warden, the hotel castle warden, for many years because he was an innkeeper. So that really tied to us too. And one of our rooms is named for Marjorie Rawlings. And then we have a copy of the book of the Daring Daughters of St. Augustine, which has a history and information about all the exciting women that were very famous in the city, including Mary Lilly, who was Henry Flagler's third and final wife, and
mm-hmm.
also Diamond Lil is on the cover of that book, which is wonderful, and Anna Marcotte, who was the editor of the Tattler, which was the society paper of the time.
Yes, yes.
So we have lots of things that are part of that book. And so all of these are incorporated into that prize to enjoy.
Okay, so hang on to that information about Charlotte because we're going to come right back to it. Angela,
mm-hmm.
what prompted you to enter a national recipe contest? Where did you hear about it, on the Internet or in a magazine? Where?
To enter a national contest, I was probably half out of my mind. there was a mention in my local paper, a couple of small paragraphs in their one-page food section, and I saw the mention of the coffee cake challenge, and I said, that's nice, and, tore it out of the paper, put it off to the side. I have two small children. My daughter, Bridget, is 7, and my son, Matthew, is 4, and I was busy with school functions and other sorts of things, so I would look at where I had put the clipping from time to time and be like, I really should look at that. I really should look at that. And, glanced in a couple of cookbooks and to try to get an idea of what would be in a coffee cake because I knew I liked to eat coffee cakes. But it was only at the last minute that I said, let me just, I had a couple of ideas. Let me try to put this challenge together. I like the idea of creating something, and it was very fast, so I didn't have too much time to worry about how things went. I had enough time to try it once, put it together, send it out, and then forget about it.
So, do you send the recipe, or do you send the cake in by FedEx, or what?
I think it might have been easier, Ruthie, if I had sent the cake in by FedEx. But actually, no, I had to type it out on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and send it in the mail. And the deadline was a Sunday postmark deadline, so I had to drive to the post office on Saturday afternoon and put it in the mail that last day that I could.
Now, how important is baking to your family and friends? Are you baking for everybody?
Oh, in terms of any family celebration, cooking and baking are so important. Every time that my family has a chance to get together, whether it's my family or an extended family function with my husband's family also, food is an important part of any celebration, especially dessert.
Why? Now, did you test your key lime coconut coffee cake on anybody while developing the recipe?
Well, not really.
You have family guinea pigs?
I had prepared the cake and had decided that I liked it, that had it available for my husband and my children to try. They don't remember that they tasted it. I have a close friend, Tammy, and her husband, Matt, and our children play soccer together. And that Saturday I brought a piece out for them to try, gave it to her, and they took it home. And in the meantime, I had to get everything together to mail out. And when she called me later that afternoon, I had already gone to the post office, had mailed the recipe sheet. And Tammy's comment was that they thought they had liked it very much, but they thought that it needed more flavor to maybe add additional key lime or additional coconut to intensify the flavor. And I said, well, it's already been mailed. So she and I have a good laugh about it now that it ended up winning the way I had originally put it together. But other than that, everyone's been tasting it since. It has become something that everyone has been requesting for me to bring everywhere.
But now that you've made it, did you? By the way, since then, did you ever add that smidgen of more flavor or not at all?
No. If it won the way I intended, then the way I'm keeping it.
Oh, my gosh. And I also wanted to ask you, when it comes to, I mean, you've never done this before, right? You've never been in one of these programs before?
In terms of a national contest like this, no.
Now, how difficult is it to create a recipe from scratch?
Oh, it's very difficult, and that's really on two levels. First, just trying to decide the ingredient, sometimes it can be a lot easier to decide what not to include in the recipe rather than what I do want to include in the recipe. For example, I have, when I was trying to study cookbooks and decide what was actually going into a coffee cake, I knew that a lot of coffee cakes had nuts in them. Well, I have a niece that's allergic to nuts, so I knew that I did not want nuts in my coffee cake, and I knew that some coffee cakes have glaze filling, and it was too hot to consider trying to create a glaze filling, or other types of things in that in terms of dried fruit or something like that would need to be cut up, and that was too time-consuming. So it was a lot easier to decide, okay, that's not what I want, than to decide what did I want to include. And then even once you've decided how you want to put the recipe together, spelling out the directions can be very difficult because you're used to thinking about things and just putting it together without saying, okay, I need this type of pan, I need this type of spoon, I need to make sure I flour the pan, grease the pan, preheat the oven. You think all those things come very naturally when you're doing it yourself.
They come naturally and you take them for granted.
And that when you have to spell it out to someone, that it's like, oh, no, I have to mention that I need another bowl, I have to mention that this has to be stirred by hand, and so that can sometimes be even more involved and difficult than actually creating the recipe itself, because
especially
then you start looking at
it before.
And when you look at the written instructions and you go, hold it, did I mean to say it that way, change this word, shift this part down, and that can be the worst, yes.
Now, is this recipe going to become your signature specialty?
Well, previously, if you had asked my extended family, they would probably say I was best known for making a cheesecake recipe with pumpkin in it. But in the month since I received word that I had won the coffee cake challenge, I've been requested to bring the coffee cake everywhere. Family functions. My husband is a high school science teacher in Morris County, New Jersey, and he came back from his first day of school today and said that I needed to have a cake ready for him to bring to the next faculty meeting.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Now, who are your baking or cooking inspirations? Any family members or maybe TV celebrities, the cooking channel, anything like that?
Well, I'm lucky to have grown up in a household where, you know, we like to cook. My parents, Tom and Rita Scarangella, live on Long Island. We always love to do cooking there. I have two aunts. One lives here in New Jersey and one who had lived out on the end of Long Island near the farm stands, being able to get a hold of the fresh ingredients. I love that. My husband also loves to cook. He can, you know, pull things together and just, you know, create something out of, you know, whatever we happen to have on hand, which is terrific. I love watching the Food Network, but usually not a matter of watching the different celebrities or the personalities that are on there, but I love watching what they can create with the fresh ingredients. Mm. A program like Dinner Impossible or Iron Chef America, where they're taking the ingredients and then having to do something with them, I enjoy that more than watching the people that are doing it.
Mm. Did you ever consider a professional career in the food industry?
Not at all. I've seen enough programs where chefs are having to create and cook for a business, and to cook for a deadline, and to cook for other people's expectations. Mm-hmm. To me, that puts too much of the business into the cooking and takes away too much of the passion out of the cooking. And I like to be able to enjoy what I'm doing. And so to be able to do that for a job, I just don't see that would be something I'd ever be able to do full-time.
So tell me, are you looking forward to receiving this grand prize trip at the Inn on Sherlock in St. Augustine?
Very much. We're definitely looking forward to traveling together, my husband and I.
When do you plan to travel?
Well, we're limited to school vacations, so we're looking right now during his semester break in the spring.
When would that be? In the summer sometime?
No, in the spring, Ruthie, early April.
Early April. Okay. So what are you and your husband looking forward to on that trip? All of these things that Lynn mentioned?
Oh, absolutely. The ticketed sites mentioned in the prize are wonderful, but I think what my husband and I are enjoying most of all is being able to spend some quiet time together. Usually any vacation time that we have is with the children, and so to have a chance to do some exploring and some relaxing just ourselves will be a nice treat.
The kids are not going?
No, the kids are not going.
It's going to be a honeymoon.
After 12 years, Ruthie, a second honeymoon.
That's, and so well deserved. Anyone that can, you know, just put together a coffee cake, send it in the mail, and win a prize deserves this trip, believe me. Now, what does your family, your husband and the kids think about this new notoriety? What do they say about it?
Well, they're pretty low-key about it. I asked them about it in discussing the upcoming interview, and the general consensus was that it was fantastic and pretty wonderful from the children. And as I said, my husband's got a lot of rave reviews from his colleagues going back to school, and it was, you know, congratulations, you know, on the win. And he, you know, said, well, you know, it was my wife who did that. And it's like, well, it's terrific. It's wonderful she put that together. You know, can she bring some? Everyone has been asking, Ruthie, I visited my dentist last week, and my dentist insisted on having me bring something to my next office visit.
That's excellent. Yeah, we're looking around the newsroom here, and we don't see any of that coffee cake at all. Somebody handed me a copy of the recipe. I said, I don't want that. I want the cake. So tell me, what's the next culinary adventure for you, Angela?
Well, I'd say twofold. First of all, my husband and I love to garden, and we're in the midst of canning. Canning tomatoes, making jam. We love to have the fresh fruits and vegetables available for us to be able to enjoy, especially through the winter months. And in terms of a national stage, I almost shuddered to tell you that in the 3 weeks since I had gotten the word from Lynn, I entered another cooking contest and won.
No. No.
Mm-hmm. Another national contest that I read about in the New Jersey Herald, and I got word, run by a the Steak'em people, and I won a frying pan for creating a barbecue recipe. Yeah,
like you're saying you don't want to have anything to do with a career in the culinary arts. I don't know. I think you better reconsider.
Well, Ruthie, it took me quite a surprise, too. But I was up watching the Olympics, and I liked the idea of getting into something which was usually more my husband's domain in terms of dealing with barbecue. And I figured since I was up late watching the Olympics anyway, I might as well put that together and email that. And I received an email back the following week that I had won this frying pan as part of the contest. And I was like, huh?
I can't believe that. That's two in a row.
I know, I know. If that means three, I shudder to think what number three will be.
I think it's great, but it tells me that something is drawing you into the culinary arts. You don't think so?
We'll see how that entails. As I said, to work for a deadline and other people's expectations can be very difficult. But having the luxury of the flexibility of time in the summer is something that's going to disappear in 2 days. My daughter starts school on Thursday, and my son starts school the following week. So then it's, you know, back to school functions again and school hours and packed lunches and everything else.
And what town in Jersey are you in?
We're in Newton in Sussex County. That's northwestern New Jersey.
It's going to be
near the Pennsylvania border.
In Newton, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. I've already heard from some of the people around the area who've seen my picture in the local paper. When the Herald found out that I had won the contest, they had asked to come over and interview me some more and take some pictures. I think the children liked that more than anything else, was the chance to see their pictures in the paper.
By the way, when this interview is done, you know, it stays archived on the Internet so that when you type your name, it will come right up in Google. So people can listen to this interview again and again and again, and they can access it from anywhere on the planet Earth.
Wow.
And people do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to mention that recipe, and give us the name of that recipe again in case someone is looking for that recipe, and we'll add it to the AdWords. Give us the proper name.
The proper name is Key Lime Coconut Coffee Cake.
Key Lime Coconut. Let's throw that right in there. We'll make sure we'll add that. Coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll have that up tonight. We'll be throwing that in there and making sure that's part of the package.
Thank you very
made
much.
A whole new cake. For an inn in Florida. Do you realize this?
I periodically go back to the website and look at it just to see that, yes, that's a picture of my coffee cake. Yes, that is a picture of our family on the beach at Wildwood. Yes, this is really happening.
This is really, something about your cooking is much better than you yourself had realized, I guess. You didn't take yourself too seriously.
Well, I think that not taking things too seriously allows me to enjoy what I'm doing.
Oh, gosh, yes, I think that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, I congratulate you, and you will let us know when you are going to this to the Inn at Charlotte in St. Augustine in Florida, won't you?
Certainly.
Because we may be showing up and covering you again. Oh, don't giggle.
No, that would be a pleasure, Ruthie. It can
don't
sometimes
giggle because the New York office, the Syndicated News New York office, is now in Orlando, Florida.
Ah.
So we can get to St. Augustine very easily.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know Lynn wants us to talk, you know, get some serious talking about this, about her inn. We're gonna spend the rest of the time doing just that. Well, Angela, I can't tell you how proud I am I can't wait to eat this cake. I want to have it with some coffee.
It's very simple to make, Ruthie, and that was
oh,
the key thing
it.
For
I
me in creating it.
No, know. I don't want to make it. I want to eat it. I don't want to make it. Lynn, you don't
well,
it's, eat
it's
it either.
It's even simpler to eat, Ruthie. It's even simpler to eat.
I'm coming to St. Augustine. I'm serious. I'm coming to St. Augustine, but I didn't know when. I had mentioned it to Lynn. I had mentioned it to Lee Court. And we're doing all sorts of promotions in the St. Augustine area, especially since they suffered all that rain, you know, and they're getting their travel and tourism back on its feet and getting everything back in place. And we're going to help promote it. So, yes, I'm definitely going to be in St. Augustine. That's a given. But now that you tell me that you're not going to be there till April, then maybe I'm not going to be there till April either, because I want to do some more on this cake. And you know, I think that's a hoot. What you've done is fantastic.
Well, we had decided, I said, pretty much because of the school holidays, that this would work out the best to be able to take that time after the nasty weather season is all past, to be able to enjoy ourselves and take some time out. And
that's lovely.
Yeah, really be able to enjoy the amenities that St. Augustine has to offer. And it would be a pleasure talking with you again, Ruthie. You've made this interview very easy.
Well, I can't thank you enough for joining us. And I want to let everybody know, give us the pronunciation of your name. I don't even want to risk pronouncing it.
It's pronounced Guzowitz.
That's Angela Guzowitz from Newton, New Jersey. And I'm not going to give you her phone number, but she makes one heck of a cake. Now, this recipe is available on the Internet somewhere?
It's available at the Inn's website.
Ah. And, in fact, some of you should, I mean, stop it with this nonsense of the cooking. Why don't you take a trip on down to St. Augustine, Florida? That's really the kicker. And have it there with a cup of coffee, maybe a glass of wine even.
And to be able to enjoy a nice leisurely breakfast along with the rest of the cake, that would be the pleasure.
Oh, that's just so romantic. And if I saw a cat, I got to talk to Lynn about this. Did I see a carriage outside of that inn?
Yes.
Oh, how romantic. We're going to have to detail all of that. Well, Angela, I can't thank you enough. You've been a charming guest. I know I'm going to love your cake. Maybe I can talk somebody into, you know, making it for me. In any case, I can't thank you enough for joining us. And I wish you well. I hope you keep winning contests. Don't stop sending them in. I mean, that's two in a row. Three's the charm. Keep going.
Well, I know, but I've told my mother that probably the next stop is the Pillsbury Bake Off.
Why not? That would be fantastic. What are you going to enter?
Well,
did you already decide
after
on the recipe?
Not a clue. after winning the last one during the Olympics, maybe I need another Olympic type event to be watching.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you, Angela, for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Want you to continue with these contests, because you are a winner. There's no question. And you've got great recipes. People love your food, so keep at it.
Well, thank you very much, Ruthie. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
And we'll say good night now.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Now, Lynn?
Yes?
We've got an hour now to devote to this inn. I want you to give me all of these. I want to know about the carriage. I want to know about this history. This is wonderful history. And let's start with these rooms. When did you put this hotel together? Did you name all these rooms yourself after famous people? Is that what that is?
Actually, this has been a bed and breakfast for about 15 years.
Uh-huh.
The house itself was built in 1918 by a lawyer, or for a lawyer, Levi Nelson. That's his home, and it has all the upgraded features that would have been put in during that Gilded Age time period. And, you know, the large, big baseboards and the big windows and all of that. It's very, very nice. And the house, when you walk in the door, it speaks to you. It did to me when I first went in, and then I have many of my guests tell me that when they walk in, it's just something about the house just really welcomes you, wraps itself around you, and you want to enjoy it. And so what we wanted to do was make it a true St. Augustine experience. And so working with Lee Court, she came up with the idea of, well, let's name it over characters. And then we did some research about people that we thought would be different and interesting and not named rooms by another location in town or something to make it be distinctive to the mm-hmm. Inn on Charlotte. And so that's how we came up with this list of characters. And you have to, some of them you have to have, you know, because you can't, certainly could never overlook that Henry Flagler is so important to the city and his legacy. And then his wife, Mary Lilly, has quite a legacy of her own with the city. She was very philanthropic and did many, many things. And so to honor them with rooms, you know, is just a natural. And then, you know, you want to have some fun with it, too. I mean, Diamond Lil was such a character. I mean, oh, my gosh, she was so – she literally had a diamond in her front tooth. I mean, can you believe that?
In those days?
Yes. I mean, she was wild, yeah. And very outspoken, very, you know, I mean, very creative. I mean, she – this was – the Fountain of Youth was already there, the well, and she decided to put it together as an attraction to have people come and sell them, you know, drinks of water from the Fountain of Youth. I mean, that's pretty creative. And it's still there today. I mean, you know, and it's a major attraction in the city. I mean, the grounds around it are quite a park, and they have peacocks and all kinds of wildlife. It's just beautiful. And so it was very interesting that she would be that innovative. You know, and then, you know, you have all the nature that's around here with, you know, we have quite a zoological park there with the alligator farm. It has a wonderful aviary, and it's really more of a zoological park than just an alligator farm. And so, you know, Audubon is a natural to come into that as well. And,
yeah.
You know, when I left my corporate career, I went back to school and got a degree in horticulture. So I wanted to tie something in that is part of me as well with the inn. And so the tie-in with Audubon and the plant life and the animal life is a natural. Plus Florida, that's Florida, everything with all the tropical foliage and everything. And so you just, you know, and then Tiffany, because he was so important to Flagler, it was just important to do that. And the Flagler College has in its dining room a huge Tiffany ceiling. And that is a major attraction in the city. And
Wait a minute. Tiffany ceiling?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stained glass ceiling.
Who put it up there?
It was installed during that time period when the hotel was built, the Ponce de Leon Hotel, which is what is now Flagler College, was the signature hotel for Henry Flagler in the city. And it was very opulent. It was
mm-hmm.
for the richest of the rich to come and stay for the season, not just a couple of nights, you know. And so it was very, very beautiful, and it's still there, and it's in the dining room. So you can imagine being, you know, a college student today, and you eat in the dining room that has a Tiffany ceiling. I mean, it's fabulous. You know?
I would say.
Yeah. So, and then there's a museum across the street from the college, which is called the Leitner Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also one of Flagler's hotels. It was the Hotel Alcazar. And that was for the next level of society, the next tier down of society.
Mm-hmm.
And then right across the street from that was the Hotel Cordova, which is now the Casa Monica Hotel. So all three of them were right there together, and they were all for different levels of society to come and stay. And so you have to take that into consideration, because that's a very big part of the city. And so that's why we named the rooms after people like that. And then as far as Marjorie Kenham Rawlings, we do a lot of book signings at the inn, because we really like it that we have a lot of famous local authors. And she was a Floridian. And so it's a natural that we would put one of the rooms for her. And so because she was a writer, you know, and you think of writers as being kind of in a little bungalow-type area, so one of our rooms is called the Marjorie Kenning Rawlings Bungalow. And it's just a kind of a fun thing. And then the Anna Marcotte room, where she was the editor of the Tattler, the society paper of the Times.
Mm-hmm.
She knew where everybody was and who was who and who was in town and who wasn't in town and why they weren't and if they were, why they were, and all of that. And then so we figured that she probably, you know, was writing all those things in a little hideaway place, a little hideaway office or whatever. So one of our rooms is the farthest away from the main parlor area, is called her hideaway, the Anna Marcotte's hideaway. And that attracts people. Those names are very appealing to guests. Well, we want to stay in the hideaway, or we want to stay in the bungalow, or, you know, can we stay in that veranda room, or, you know, it made it more interesting and more memorable and something more to take back as a memory. And I think that's what staying in St. Augustine and a bed and breakfast, especially the Inn on Charlotte, should be about: making memories, happy memories and relaxation, and the wanting to come back and stay in, you know, the next room that you haven't stayed in yet, which makes it a fun thing, you know?
Well, we're going to take a moment here and give a thank you to the wonderful people that sponsor a lot of our efforts here at Syndicated News. And I would say we'd like to thank Shadow Operations. They're from San Jose, California. Very discreet, very professional, very serious technology engineering company, available for any corporation or group that might need their kind of help. Shadow Operations out of San Jose, California, a very discreet, very professional, very serious company that people can rely on. It's a company that will take your worries away and make sure that everything in your computer system and your network are safe and sound. We'd also like to welcome Kirby Products, the new sponsor to Syndicated News. Very, very happy to have Kirby Products join the family of Syndicated News, and we add Permalife. Permalife is a new sponsor for Syndicated News, and we're very happy to let everybody know about them. Anyway, let's continue on about cake and stuff like that, and Mr. Flagler and all the lovely things in your hotel in that area. Now, this is a small property. It's got 8 theme rooms, I guess. They're named after different people. And what's the next event that's coming up at your inn?
We're actually involved in the Heritage Book Festival that's coming up this in a couple of weeks in the city. It's a function that's been put together to support the library and literary goings on in the city. And because we do book signings on a periodic Saturday, we've been involved with that, and we actually have some of the authors staying with us at our inn, and as they are in town for being the keynote speakers or doing workshops or presentations or whatever. So that's coming up. And then
what date is that?
That'll be the that's this the weekend of the 12th and the 13th of September.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a very nice thing. It's called the Heritage Book Festival, so that's a very big event coming up. And we do a lot of things. I belong to a group of inns called the Inns of Elegance, and we're having a travel writers conference coming through. It's St. Augustine Just for Fun.
When is that?
That's coming up the right after the Heritage Book Festival. So that'll be like the 14th, 15th, and 16th of September. So
Let me look around my desk here to see if I find Lee Court's invitation. Let me see. Where is it now? I'll keep looking around here to see. Maybe it'll come in the mail soon.
Oh. Well, that's a...
you have mentioned that to me.
Yeah, an event that takes a lot of advance work, and Lee does a lot of work to get that ready. And she's she's done a tremendous job, as she has done on many trips for travel writers to come to the city and mm-hmm. experience it and to really truly go away with a good feel of what St. Augustine and staying at a bed and breakfast, what that experience is really about. So, you know, she really deserves big kudos for putting all those together. And this one is a great one. It's got lots of fun things to do for the writers. And it kind of it sets apart the just coming to have dinner or to visit any of the attractions is wonderful in itself. But this has got fun activities also, like kayaking and scoot coop. And we're actually having a cooking class at the inn is one of the fun things that the writers can do, one of their free afternoons. And we have a chef in town that has opened this new French restaurant, and he's going to conduct the class for us.
She had mentioned that to me.
Yeah, and he's terrific, mm-hmm. too. He's real fun and very, very innovative, and his restaurant is just wonderful. It's so, you just feel like you've gone to France, and when you go in there, it's just terrific. And he and his wife are just, they're just a darling couple, and they're just a great addition to the city.
And they haven't been in there very long, have they?
No, just a couple of months now they've been open. They've been in the city getting, you know, the restaurant ready and everything, but they've only mm-hmm. been open a couple of months, maybe 3 months, 4 months now, but doing very well. And they're right on the plaza, so that's it's a dynamite location, and I'm sure they're going to do very well.
And I wanted to know, the winter, how is the winter? I would think the temperature there goes down to 60.
Yeah, it's very nice in the winter in St. Augustine. Lovely. Mild. We get that, you know, we have the ocean right there. We're right on the breeze from the ocean. And plus, it doesn't ever get, for me, I'm from the north myself. And so to me, it doesn't ever seem to get cold. It may get into the high 30s, you know, a few days or whatever. But in general, mm-hmm. stays very mild and tempered, you know, light jacket if you need anything, you know.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's wonderful.
Now,
yeah.
Give us your website address again.
It's www.inoncharlotte.com.
And let's spell that out.
INNONCHARLOTTE.com.
Perfect. And your phone number, so in case someone wants to just throw the weekend together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the middle of the week. They'd be saying St. Augustine.
Yeah.
It's close by. Let's just go on over there. Give me your number.
It is. It's 800-355-5508. It would be our 800 number, which would be accessible for everyone to call us.
Now,
we
that
have
number
the special
24 hours a day?
Well, we are answered until probably about 9 o'clock at night, and then after that it would go into our answering service, and then we would return the call the next day.
Okay. Now, what is the likelihood that someone can just call out of the blue and get a room, or are you busy? Are you booked all the time?
We stay pretty steady busy, but, you know, there's always opportunity for a stay at the inn, and we work with people that call in to try to work that out for them. And you know, we have people that come and stay for, you know, 3-4 days at a time, or some people can come for just one night. And we welcome all guests, because if you stay one night, you're going to want to come back and stay more.
Absolutely. And why don't you give us an idea of what's on that menu?
Ooh, yeah. Well, this morning we served oatmeal pancakes with fresh peach sauce made with fresh South Carolina peaches. That was just... There wasn't a speck of anything left on those plates when they came back in the kitchen, let me tell you.
Nothing.
And they're actually kind of healthy too, which is, you know, I kind of debate whether to tell people they're actually healthy, because, you know, when people are on vacation, I'm not sure everybody wants to eat healthy, but, you know, they are very healthy and they taste good. And then earlier in the week, we served a spinach and bacon souffle served over fresh Yukon Gold potatoes with a side of fresh homemade banana bread. We make breakfast enchiladas as a very big favorite for our guests. They're wonderful. And we serve those with a new side dish. We've just started serving chipotle pepper grits, cheese grits, and they are so good. I mean, people go, oh, I don't like grits. I go, just try them. Just try it. You know, you're on vacation. Branch out.
My mouth is watering.
They are so good. They're just a little bit of kick to them with the chipotle pepper, but not too spicy to eat at all, and they go great with the enchilada. It's a real nice side to that. And we also serve baked eggs Benedict, which is like an egg and bacon souffle. And we serve that over the Yukon Gold potatoes as well, fresh potatoes. And sometimes we'll serve on the side a roasted red skin potato with a sausage and cheddar quiche that also is made with Granny Smith apples and sage seasoning. That's another big favorite in the inn. Are you hungry? Are you hungry yet?
Oh, yes. I'm looking at the pictures, and I'm getting hungry and thirsty. If you go to the innoncharlotte.com and you click over to that menu, there's these gorgeous photographs with these little descriptions. Champagne Magic. This is a bottle of house champagne and fresh strawberries. That's a very sexy evening. Champagne. Strawberry Magic. Chocolate-covered strawberries and a bouquet of fresh flowers. Then there's the Red Rose Magic, which is a bouquet of red roses with chocolate-covered strawberries. All the magic is champagne, a bouquet of roses, chocolate-covered strawberries, and a private carriage ride with a drop-off at a restaurant downtown. I mean, that is really magical and romantic. And then
really
there's the... Pardon?
That really is all the magic.
Sure is. Then there's the second honeymoon package. It's a 3-night midweek stay in the Henry Flagler's Verandali. Is that correct? Ah, the Veranda. I see we could see it through the test site. Veranda and Tiffany studio rooms. And they're welcoming a gourmet basket, including champagne and Claude chocolate. Who is Claude? And have you had his chocolate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Claude is a chocolatier in town. He's a French chef that had a bistro here for many years and then decided that he would go explore his passion for chocolate. And so he and his wife, Nicole, have created Claude's Chocolates, and they just are to die for. They're so fabulous, and we actually serve them at the inn as part of our champagne service. When people order champagne, we put two of his dark chocolate passion fruit hearts on the on their little the charger that the champagne sits on, and put a rose from our garden. How about that?
That's lovely.
It is very romantic, yes.
And let's see, the honeymoon package is a, let's see. Oh, this is lovely. Claude,
I have to tell you.
A horse and a carriage ride through the historic district. Two trolley tickets, valid for 3 days. A drop off, a stop off at the Fountain of Youth. A romantic candlelight dinner for two at St. Augustine's premier restaurant from May to December. Excludes major holiday periods. That's okay. That's very romantic.
I have to tell you, I had a couple check in today. Just it's so romantic. They are staying with us on that very package, that second honeymoon package. And when they are repeat guests for me, and they came in and they said, "Well, we're so excited. This is really our honeymoon. We just got married about 30 minutes ago." How romantic. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is so terrific.
This is so romantic. 30 minutes before.
30 minutes. They just got married. They're just darling now.
And I'm just noticing, you perform, are you celebrating weddings right at the end?
Yes, we do. We have a romantic elopement package.
Tell us about your wedding package if someone wants to get married and just come and have it done there.
Oh, it's so romantic. And the inn has three different wedding packages. One is a romantic elopement where you can come to the inn.
Wait a minute. We want to follow along. Let's go to the innoncharlotte.com. And where shall we go? Because we want to follow.
You want to go to the wedding
page?
Sure
do. Okay. On the side in the Charlotte, you'll find welcome, eat-in, rooms, specials, gift certificates, weddings, meetings, St. Augustine, availability, location, news, and contact. Let's go to weddings. Let's take a look there. Oh, I see. Now, would you be in charge of getting the clergy?
Absolutely. It's one phone call to us. We take care of everything. And we can do the wedding that you would like to have, you know, to make it special for the couple that is getting married. The thing we focus on is it's all about the couple and what mm-hmm. they want and what is good in their mind and what they want to have for their wedding. And so it's really a pleasure. It's fun, and people enjoy it, and it's romantic to stay at the inn and have your wedding there.
So if someone wanted to elope and get away from it at all, they could come and actually have, you'd get a licensed officiate to be there and perform the ceremony for them.
It's
they can elope but still have a wedding.
Exactly, exactly. We take care of all of that, and we take care of, for the romantic elopement, we have Charlotte roses that we for the bride, and we have champagne, and we have a carriage ride. And wedding cake, we take care of getting that, and we discuss with the bridal couple what kind of cake they want. We can get almost anything that they're looking for.
It's adorable.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then they have a choice of the romantic horse-drawn carriage ride for two, your St. Augustine's Historic District, or a romantic candlelight dinner for two. I would go for the candlelight dinner, and then afterwards, then I would go for the carriage ride.
Well, you know what's very romantic is for when the couples are married, we try to time it if they've chosen the carriage ride,
mm-hmm.
To have the carriage just right at the end of the ceremony after they've had their champagne toast and
mm-hmm.
And their cake, and the carriage is waiting right outside at the end of the sidewalk for them to take them on their romantic ride and, you know, to have photographs taken of them as they're leaving. And it's very, very fun. It's very private and romantic for the couple.
And I see you've put together the wedding package. You have a photographer and a videographer as well?
I haven't done a videographer yet, but I'm sure we could find one in the city to do that. But we do have a wonderful photographer that we work with, Marvin Mann, and he's been doing this for many years and has very professional photos that come out of it. It's just wonderful. You feel like you're actually standing right next to the couple or right in the environment because his pictures are so wonderful.
So vivid. So beautiful,
mm-hmm.
definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So what else do we want to know about the menu? Tell us more about that menu. What else are you serving there?
At the inn?
Mm-hmm.
For breakfast, you mean?
Every meal.
Yeah, we just do breakfast at the inn because of there's so many great restaurants in the city, so we don't have a lot of, we don't do any dinners or lunches. Unless we do a business meeting where people have their executive committee come or a board meeting or something, we've entertained board meetings and also department head meetings at the inn where we've provided lunch for them, and we'll do things like a special chicken salad with grapes and almonds that we make at the inn and serve it with melon and things like that. It's very nice. But other than that, we serve at breakfast time. We also make a very wonderful French toast. We do it with an orange flavoring, and we serve fresh strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, and raspberries in a medley over it. We also make a gingerbread pancake and serve it with a fresh applesauce that we make at the inn.
Mm.
That's very delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a fabulous marinated berries, which we make with strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, and balsamic vinegar. It's just delicious. And
there's much too good to just have for breakfast. Can't, if someone wanted to have it in the middle of the afternoon, I mean, if they came back from the day and they wanted to spend the afternoon in the inn, could they order the breakfast menu and get some cake sent up?
No, we don't do that. to be honest with you. We haven't done anything like that. We do in the afternoon serve a social time where we have complimentary wines and we put out various refreshments that we make, like our cheese pennies, and we do a spiced pecan, which is wonderful, that we roast at the inn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make these to die for chocolate chip cookies that people just write in the journals about. Don't miss the cookies. So people come and they say, what time are the cookies come out?
Of course.
So.
And everything's baked fresh there. Are you actually baking yourself or do you have a baker?
Oh, no, it's me. I cook in the morning as well, and I have an innkeeper that cooks on days when I am not there for breakfast. And we make everything fresh that day. We serve fresh fruit in the morning and fresh juice, and then the hot entree, and always rotate it around so that people don't have the same thing if they're staying, you know, 3 or 4 days. We make sure that we never serve the same breakfast while they're there.
Oh, you vary it every day.
Every day, yeah. It's one entree every day. It's not... You don't sit down and order like a restaurant.
And I guess if you're going to have a nice afternoon refreshment and you're serving wine, I guess you really don't have to do anything else. I think that's good enough.
Well, you know what? People are mostly out during the day. The inn is small and has a lovely parlor to people to come and relax. And we're so great with our location that many times what people do is they go out and walk around, and if it's a warm day they'll come back, and we provide lemonade and iced tea and filtered water, distilled water in our little refrigerator in that parlor. So people come back in, they'll sit down, have a cold drink, get all, you know, cooled down and everything, and then go back out and tour some more. Or shop some more, because we have such a great location. It's like, you know, 5 minutes to anything that you want to see or do in the city.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested in that carriage ride.
Yeah.
Really, and I'm interested also, I didn't realize, you're having a nice touch to have that wine in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. One of the fun things that we've started doing is try to serve different wines and talk to people about the wines. Like, we'll definitely vary it by season. In the summertime, we'll serve a little bit lighter like type wine. Like right now, we're serving a Sauvignon Blanc and a Pinot Noir because they're a little bit lighter, a little bit easier to just sit and sip and visit with people with in the summertime in the warmer, very warmer weather.
Yes.
And then in the winter, we'll serve more of a Chardonnay, a heavier Chardonnay, and either Merlot or sometimes maybe even a Shiraz. And just so people have a little bit, you know, you get kind of a little more toasty feeling, I guess, you know, in the wintertime, even though it's not cold here, I think people like that. And we get a lot of Floridian visitors, so... it may not seem cold to me, but I think to some Floridians in the winter it seems a little bit cooler. You know, they say, oh, it's so cold up here in the north of Florida. You know, we're from the South Florida, and so to hear it seems so much cooler. To me, I think it seems wonderful, you know.
Very, I love it cool.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn, tell us about the Colonial Spanish Quarter.
Oh, that's wonderful. That has authentic... reenactment going on all the time, and you can walk through there and see how it really was back in the day, and you know, the blacksmith and all the interesting different functions that used to happen in the small little village like that. So it's very, very, very interesting to go through that, and that's about a block and a half from us, so very close, right around the corner, right on St. George Street, which is one block from us. That's the main walking street with little shops and restaurants and interesting things to see and do.
Now, the Castillo de San Marcos, is that part of the Spanish Quarter, or is that separate and apart?
Well, it's separate. The Castillo is the famous fort, and that's about a block and a half from us. To the north, and it is magnificent, and it's made of coquina stone, which is a special stone from this area, which is made with shells. And it has weathered all these years, I mean, mm-hmm. hundreds of years, and one of the things that's very fascinating about the fort, it was never surrendered or never taken in battle. It was always persevered or withstood any battle, which was, I think that's magnificent. And when you see it, it's hard to believe that it's been there so many years, and it's a big attraction. Right on the harbor. It's right on.
You certainly are well situated. Now you've got the Fort Matanzas National Monument.
Mm-hmm.
How far is that from the inn?
Maybe about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the Fountain of Youth Archaeological Park.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's about maybe a 10-minute walk from us.
What's there?
That's where Diamond Lil had started the attraction. And that actually has a park with it, which is really lush and beautiful. And the best time to go there is in the morning when the peacocks are out and walking and you see a lot more of the wildlife and what's happening in that basic area. And later in the afternoon, it's nice to go there also, but the best time is like when it's first opening in the morning.
People absolutely love ghost tours, and you,
mm-hmm.
I see you have one too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So who's, are they going building to building, or is it a progressive tour? How does that work?
There's several different tours, actually.
Ghost tours? Several ghost tours?
Oh, several different ghost tours that people can take in the city. They have a pub ghost tour. They have a ghosts and gravestones that takes you to all the cemeteries and areas like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a walking tour of that you walk around with a guide, and they stop about along different buildings and different areas of the city and tell you about the famous ghost that is there and why that ghost was significant and why they're still there. And there's a new one that's out that's actually a carriage ride, where you get on the carriage and they drive you a horse-drawn carriage or through the city and talk about the different ghost areas. And one of the newest ones they've just come out with is a GPS system, and you pick up the little GPS. I know, it's really cool. You pick up the little handheld GPS, and it navigates you through a special trail, so to speak, of different areas of the city, and it tells you about the ghosts in that area and what's going on with that. This is kind of cool, too. It's, kind of a high-tech with the ghost thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Very fun.
Yeah.
There's also a hearse tour. You can ride around in a hearse and learn about the ghosts, and it stops and has everybody get out and talks about different areas and what the ghost is there. And
a tour in a hearse, that's a little too macabre for me.
Yeah, and they
I know people will love it, though.
Oh, very much so. And people take their cameras, and they take photos, and they get the auras and the orbs. They find them there, and they
yeah.
And they come back and show you. It's very interesting. I mean, it's fun. It's a very big part of the city.
Now, what's the old St. Augustine Village? What exactly is that?
That's a collection of buildings. I think there's like 9. It's actually down on.
Are those original?
Mm-hmm. And there's like a little garden area in the center of it, and you
mm-hmm.
can tour all around each of the buildings, and it has little stop and read information stuff, and people in plaques and signage that tell you about what's going on in there. Very pretty area.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, I would say that is from the inn is probably about a 10-minute walk. Very close by. The trolley, though,
yeah.
You know, the trolley system, both, there's two of them. One is the green trolley, Old Town trolleys, and then there's the red train, and they both stop there. That's a major stop at each of those systems.
Mm-hmm.
You can get off and tour it and get right back on the train the next time it comes around, about, I think, about 15, 20 minutes between stops, and go to the next stop. But that is a very big big stop for the train.
And St. Augustine's Alligator Farm.
Tell us, give us details.
Oh, that is wonderful. They have lots of alligators, for obviously, but and they have the big Maximo, who's one of their big features. He's enormous, and they do a show with him every day. I think probably several times a day, as a matter of fact. But one of the very interesting things is that is a very much a zoological park and a big aviary. And every year there's a big birding festival in the city area, and people come from all over the country to photograph the bird life that is there. And you when you walk through the park, you could actually almost reach out and touch, like, the bird nests, and you see them walking. They're right there, right off the trail. It's not like everything is far away and binoculars and everything, and people come and with their cameras and take all kinds of photos of people that are bird enthusiasts. So that's a very kind of almost this little secret about the alligator farm. I don't think everybody knows that. They think, oh, the alligator farm, and it's only about the alligators. But they are a huge part of it and very interesting in of themselves, but they're also a lot more to that park than just that.
It's not just that. It's just one, I guess, little animal showing. Do they have a zoo? Or is that also a zoological
park? That's a zoological park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as well. Mm-hmm. Lovely. So they do have one.
It's now, definitely it's definitely a thing to see when you come to the city. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And I see you have the St. Augustine golf courses.
Yes, we do. We have golf courses, and then we also have some championship golf courses that are just about maybe a 20-minute drive in an area called World Golf Village, where there's the Golf Hall of Fame. They had a huge display with Jack Nicklaus there, and a lot of memorabilia from his career and several others. But it's very fascinating, and that's one of the big attractions in the area, too. And then a lot of people like to play at their golf courses that are out there, the championship courses. And then, St. Augustine has them, too, as well, in the city that are close by.
Wonderful.
It's very nice. You know, it's a nice alternative to stay at a B&B and play golf, and because you come back and relax, or you can get up in the morning when people go for that early morning tea time. We'll pack them a little to-go breakfast just to give them some energy. You know, you can have energy to play golf.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you send them off with a little
meal.
Oh, yeah,
because they'll miss breakfast. We serve breakfast about 9 o'clock, 9:15 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that 8 o'clock tea time, you got to leave way before that. So we make sure there's coffee for them to take and fresh brewed coffee, and then we pack a little to-go sack with some juice and, some either banana bread or coffee cake, and definitely be putting in that key lime coffee cake from now on. And, maybe a little bit of cheese or something just to have a little snack so they can get started for the day.
That's wonderful. Let's take a moment again to mention that we get good help and good support from the wonderful people at Chatawan, San Jose, California. And we recommend them highly if you are a company in need of good security for your wide area network and your local area network. They are a very sophisticated company that can take care of any technological engineering aspect, anything you need. You call them up. They're in the book, Shadow Ops, San Jose, California. And we welcome Kirby Products. Now then, I want to know about other activities besides golf. What else do you have? Because St. Augustine, I didn't realize it was so rich in activity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of water sports there. I mean,
Anastasia Island State Recreation Park? I didn't know that existed.
Oh, yeah. That's the beach. That's right. It's about 3 miles from us. Takes maybe 10 minutes to get there, right across the Bridge of Lions. And you can camp there, or if you're a camper, or you can just go for the day. And it's a wonderful beach. You can do parasailing. You can do surfing. You can just walk on the beach, lay on the beach. You know, any kind of beach activity is there. There's horseback riding, all kinds of activities on the beach. And that is a very nice park. It's very well maintained, has very nice facilities. So that's one of the nice things about that park is that the trolley system, you don't even have to, once you park your car, like when you stay with us, you just park your car and the trolley can take you over to the beach. So you don't even have to get out and drive.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Totally relaxing and unwinding is the key in St. Augustine. It's a very laid-back city, very friendly, very evokes that relaxation and just unwinding and just stroll along and, you know, take the trolley, get off and on the trolley, you know, get tired, take the trolley back to where you want to be. It's great. It's really, it's a very romantic city and, you know, people, it's a happy city. So, yeah, that park is great.
And how close is Gainesville to you?
A couple hours away. We have a lot of guests that come stay with us from Gainesville, and so it's more to the west of us,
mm-hmm.
In the center of the state.
We were asked by a couple to find out,
mm-hmm.
how quickly they could get there. They were deciding whether to drive or go in a group.
Just a couple of hours.
Just a few hours. No problem,
mm-hmm.
then.
Mm-mm. No problem.
Tremendous activity there. Now, the festivals, I mean, you have such great weather. I guess St. Augustine can enjoy these festivals year-round.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is definitely a year-round destination. You know, in the winter, we have a fabulous festival called the Knights of Lights. And it is. I think this year is the 15th year that it's going to be in operation. And it is so magical. It starts the weekend before Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and all the buildings in the historic district, and then all the trees and their canopies in the plaza, the famous Plaza de Constitución, are illuminated with little white lights. And it is so beautiful in the city. And people come just for that, and that festival lasts all the way from that weekend before Thanksgiving until the end of January. And one of the things that we do in the winter is have a, when that festival is on, twice a week, when guests stay with us midweek, on Monday or Wednesday nights, there's a we have a train ride that we give them complimentary tickets to that takes them all over the city looking at how pretty those lights are. And it's very magical. It's very special to St. Augustine. I don't think other cities do that. And it's just a happy, wonderful, beautiful time in the city.
I love it. I everything I see, I'm just trying to see the little tidbits about the area and you're in, and I just keep finding more. The more I look, the more I find.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of stuff here, and you know, the weather is so conducive to being outside and walking around and strolling. And like I say, where we're located, it's very easy for our guests to just stop back in the inn, sit down, relax for a minute, have some lemonade, iced tea, cool down, then go back out and walk around some more and see some things and or take the trolley to, you know, the trolley system over to the island where the alligator farm is or the lighthouse. And you can actually climb the lighthouse. It's
really?
I feel pretty hardy to do it, but most people that go visit it do that, and there's a little museum over there with it that explains about the lighthouse. And, you know, one of our rooms is named after the first woman lighthouse keeper in Florida, Maria Andrau, and she kind of lucked into that job by through a tragedy with her husband, actually fell to his death when he was painting the lighthouse. He was the lighthouse keeper and was painting the outside of it and actually fell on the rocks below and killed himself. He was killed, and so
awful.
She became the lighthouse keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And she was paid a whopping $400 a year for the privilege of being the lighthouse keeper. I mean, wow. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Now tell us about the San Sebastian Winery.
That's very fun, too. That's they have tours there, and that's a trolley stop. And they have tours and tastings and a little shop there where you can actually purchase their wine. Their wine is made from grapes from the central part of Florida. And what else I was going to tell you about them? They have a jazz club that is up on the, it's called the Cellar on the Roof or something. I think that's what it's called. And they have jazz bands play up there on the weekends, and you can sit up there and sip wine and listen to jazz up on the top of the winery. And it overlooks, you know, San Sebastian harbor area there. It's a little with a lot of sailboats and stuff, so it's very nice. Very nice.
And these Augustine tours, how far in advance, once you arrive in St. Augustine, can you book them then, or are they booked in well in advance?
For the winery?
For the tours, yeah. For the
yes.
winery tours, for the regular tours, how far in advance do we have to call to sign up?
Oh, you know, when you book your reservation, you could say things that you're interested in, and we could put together a package for you and do that and have it so when you checked in, we'd have that ready for you.
Oh,
or when you
get
to the inn, if you didn't have time to think about that in advance or plan anything, you know, or talk to us about that, when we check you in, we generally will give you an overview of that. And we like to provide that concierge service for our guests and talk to them about what there is to do in the city and if we can help you in any way making reservations. Many of the things we have tickets for at the inn, you could just purchase them, you know, at the inn and then just go do the activity. Or the ghost tours especially, you can get it, tickets for them about a block away from us, and the little kiosk will tell you, the person at the kiosk will tell you all the different tours, and you can pick which one you want. And or you can even just, once you get to the inn, look through all of our information that we have available, and you can pick the tour you want, and then either we can call or you can go book it.
That's quite romantic in itself.
Yeah. You know, it's very, we can have things ready for people when they come to kind of maximize their enjoyment time and not have them spend a lot of time having to figure out once they get there what to do. So if people say, well, we like ghost tours, we like this, we like that, we could actually have that ready when you walked in and just say, and here's your ghost tour tickets, here's your carriage ride ticket, you know, we've made reservations for you at this restaurant that you said you wanted, and, you know, we have some of the restaurants, if they're a little bit outside the historic district, will come and pick you up, and we'll make arrangements for them to pick you up, and then they'll bring you back, and it's very easy for us to do that, and it makes the time well spent in enjoyment for the guests.
And this St. Augustine Beach, I mean, that's something you could plan for the afternoon.
Absolutely.
That's lovely. Is there any place in St. Augustine for dancing, for slow dancing?
There is, we actually have a, it's called the Habana Cafe, and that is a place where they have salsa dancing, which is very fun.
Oh, my goodness, salsa dancing in St. Augustine's, we've got to go.
And a traditional Latin band there that plays is very good, yeah. So that's a very fun thing.
A dance contest in Las Vegas, of all places.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I entered the contest with a Cuban I had met 3 minutes before. He was there with his family. And his sister, he used to dance with his sister, and she wasn't there. She was upstairs with one of her children, and he invited me to dance with him, and we won. And they gave us this huge magnum of champagne. We didn't know what to do with it. I gave it to him. I wasn't going to carry that around.
No.
Yeah, that was in Las Vegas in
How
the
fun
80s.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. That's
yeah,
something
the,
we want to know. Whenever there's dancing anywhere, we want to know.
Yeah, and there's a another restaurant that is called Cafe Spain, which teaches salsa dancing during the week.
Yeah.
So you go there for their dinner and libation,
mm-hmm.
and they have lessons. So that's kind of fun, too. So,
you know, that's an aspect of St. Augustine that I'm very interested in, and I would absolutely go. I want to go dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I go, I want to know where the tango bar is and where the salsa bar is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to know where we can dance. Well, not bars because you're dancing, but rather drinking, but bars because you're dancing.
Mm-hmm.
All over Helsinki and Stockholm, Sweden, everywhere you went, on every corner there was a tango bar.
Mm.
And I'm enjoying see the resurgence of dance back in the United States. I think it's very romantic and lovely.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And now there's plenty of sexy dancing going down on in St. Augustine. Now, that interests me tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lynn, please, again, give us your website and that phone number again, please.
Yeah. Our website is the www.inoncharlotte, that's inoncharlotte.com. And our 800 number is 800-355-5508.
Now, my questions are about meetings. I see you also. You have enough room there to run a meeting. How big is that boardroom?
We have a nice parlor that is a very relaxing area to people to sit in. It can hold up to about 12 people. And then we have a dining room area if people prefer to sit at a table environment and not the relaxed kind of sofa and chairs environment.
Mm-hmm.
The dining room will seat 16. And
you
it has plenty of space.
You can have corporate meetings there.
Yes, corporate, like executive committee meetings.
Exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We actually hosted the board meeting for the North American Travel Journalists about a year ago, I guess now. They had their meeting, and originally they were going to sit around the table in the dining room. They had planned to do that. And then once they came in and they sat, before the meeting got started, they were sitting on the sofa in the parlor and talking, all of them. And I said, well, the dining room's ready for you to move into. No, we're going to stay right here now. We like it here. So they spent their days of meetings, they spent sitting around. They said it really evoked a more relaxed and free sharing of ideas and talking. People were much, it was wonderful. They just said people didn't feel, stifled or anything. They could just relax.
It's a very inviting room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very inviting room.
And we have Wi-Fi, so, there's no problem.
So people can bring their laptops to your,
Absolutely.
Oh, that's very important.
Yes.
They can bring your laptop
and
have Wi-Fi throughout
Wi-Fi
the property.
Throughout the property,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have that, which makes it nice. And there's also, for meetings, there's plenty of space to put up like an easel with, a flip chart or whatever if you needed to do that. And it's a nice change of venue. And we can make that the break times or if the groups want to have a special welcome time, welcome social or something like that, we can do that. And we did that for the Corvette Club of Florida. They decided to have a group of them decide to meet with us. And so as they were checking in, we did a welcome reception for them. So they all kind of arrived at the same time. So in order to, make the time be pleasant and they could chat with each other, we had like a kind of a champagne and wine reception set up for them with refreshments in the parlor. So as they were checking, some were checking in, some were visiting and, having a relaxing time. So that was nice for them, and they could sit around and visit about things that they wanted to do different with their organization. So that was another venue that worked out great.
I love it.
One of the things we've done too, Ruthie, I meant to mention to you when we were talking about weddings is
mm-hmm.
we've had a couple of wedding parties that have rented the entire house from us. And so they take over the house, and their families come and stay, and then it's like a reunion. And everybody is so comfortable, and they have all have breakfast together, and they get ready, and they have the hairstylist come, and the, you know, the masseuse come, and they just, it's just a wonderful time. And, you know, we tailor the needs of that particular group to what they want to have going on. If they, you know, all want to get together and relax at the inn, or if they're going to be out for the day, or if they want to have breakfast at a different time than we normally serve, that's no trouble. We can accommodate that. So it makes it a very, it's romantic, and it's very happy and close and inviting time for them at a wedding, you know, for everybody to be together and just, you know, not have to worry about, well, where are we going to all hook up? You just all kind of come to the parlor, you know.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent. Well, I can't thank you enough for your lovely participation, and I can't thank Angela enough. I mean, I think it's wonderful she won that contest, and then she went on and won another one.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started with you wanting to host a national contest, a national bake-off kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm very interested in St. Augustine, and, yeah, we'll be happening by, definitely.
Well, you have to come down and stay at the inn. You would love it. And I really thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to talk with you today. It's been fun, and, you know, I was concerned that I wouldn't have be able to tell you enough to fill up the time slot that we have, but I guess we have, haven't we?
I told you that half an hour would not be enough. Didn't I say that?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Because in order to cover it well and explain to the public the product, where the inn is, the availability, the events, oh, I mean, there's jazz events going on around there. There's all sorts of the ghost rides, all that. It's impossible to do it in half an hour. You need real serious time. Anyway, Lynn, I want to thank you. Please give your website again. Give that name again.
It is www.innoncharlotte, that's INNONCHARLOTTE.com. And our 800 number is 800-355-5508.
It's been a pleasure having you here this evening.
Thank you so much.
So enjoyed it. We so enjoyed it.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you at the inn, and we'd love to have you come when Angela comes, and you know, get a chance to meet her in person, and we'll get a chance for you to try that coffee cake.
Yes, we want to have that coffee cake. When I come by, I will most likely definitely the coffee cake, but I want to see the events. I want to see everything that's going on and everything that, say, a couple, a newlywed couple would see. I want to see it all.
Yeah, anyway. You should come during the Nights of Lights. It's wonderful.
What month is that?
That's the weekend before Thanksgiving is when they turn them on, and the festivities start with that, and then it lasts through the end of January. So it's really a lovely thing to come in January after the holidays, after all the rush, and it's quieter, and it's so nice, the temperature, and the city is so pretty. It's just
lovely. Well, I can't thank you enough for your participation. And with that, we're down to a few seconds, so we'll say good night.
Okay, good night, and thank you so much.
Thank you. You're most welcome. Good night.
Bye-bye.